Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this chance to be in this holy space this morning. And I pray that you will be with our time together this morning with me and Jessica. And I pray that you will surround her with the peace of your presence and use her words to speak to our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit to soften our hearts to hear the word that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you all for being here. If you don't know me, I am Kara Grant. I'm the chair of the Hospitality and Evangelism Committee here at Kingswood. And I have the exciting privilege of chatting with our Director of Family and Children's Ministries, Jessica Falk Spencer. And y'all give Jessica a hand. We are so excited to get to hear her story. And we're so just grateful to have her here and each and every day, but especially today, chatting with us and doing something that is not in her natural comfort zone. So we're really glad that you decided to do this. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, decided to being, yes. So since you are, your primary role here at Kingswood is with our children, why don't you tell us a little bit about your church experiences growing up?
Sure. So I don't know how many people know this, but I originally grew up in New Jersey. I do not sound like I'm from New Jersey anymore, but I grew up in New Jersey until I was 17 years old. So I went to an Episcopal church in New Jersey. I was in the very top of New Jersey, the top corner. We were called the Bridge and Tunnel Kids because we were in the suburbs of New York City, and we either took the George Washington Bridge or the Lincoln Tunnel to get into New York. Most of the families I grew up with, I grew up in a small town, but most of the families, the parents either commuted into New York City or worked something like a lawyer or a doctor or a nurse very close to home. So our community was very much tied to New York City, even though we were, 15 miles away. So I attended, like I said, a small Episcopal church there. We started going when I was young. And when I sat down to kind of think about what my impressions of church and God were when I was little, I think awe was the word I came up with, because the sanctuary space, which I can still remember pretty well, even though I'm getting older, had stained glass windows much like the ones in this room, and I remember being pretty mesmerized by those when I was little. And I loved all the traditions and kind of rituals of church. I remember thinking all of that was really cool at the time. I wouldn't say that my family spent a lot of time on faith building at home. Most of what I was building my faith on was the time I was in church on Sundays. I did attend Sunday school. We went to worship service. But I don't remember a lot of conversations about faith at home. And I remember praying when I was afraid, or I thought I was going to get in trouble. and I remember praying before meals, but that's about the only, at least at that time when I was young, that's kind of what I remember. I have lots of positive memories about my time in that church. I ended up serving as an acolyte later, and we had coffee and treats after church, much like we do here, and I would be super excited at dismissal to go get treats, much like the kids who are here do. And I definitely think that the seeds for a stronger relationship and faith were planted at that time, because I have such positive memories and strong feelings from that time.
What was your family like? Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. So I had an older brother named Andrew, who's 4 years older than me, and a younger sister, Courtney, who's 2 years younger. So the original part of our family was the three of us. I was the middle child. And then I definitely always had a bit of a people-pleaser personality. I always kind of wanted to keep the peace in the house. I still call myself the peacemaker all the time because I'm always trying to kind of get people to get along. That's kind of my personality. So when I was young, about 8 or 9, my parents separated, which was, at the time, I don't have a strong memory of my parents being together, but I remember it being a pretty big shock when that happened. But I think the harder part of my parents' separation and eventual divorce was the feelings of feeling like there was something wrong with me. Because where I lived, nobody's parents were divorced. I was the only person I knew who had parents that were split up. And people would kind of throw around phrases like broken home. And that, I know that we kind of use that very loosely in our society, but it's actually a stinging phrase if you're the person hearing it. So So I remember feeling worried about it and thinking people, you know, thought differently of me because my parents were divorced. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my early impression. Whether that was real or not, I don't know, but that was how I felt.
Was it chaotic, would you say, in your household?
So I think for a little while it was when my mom worked full time. So there was a lot, you know, going on in the house. And I think my brother kind of took their divorce hard. So sometimes they would argue and there was a little bit of kind of strife in the house. But I think the thing that was the most chaotic was having to move between their homes, because we would be, you know, one weekend at my dad's, one weekend at my mom's, and then splitting holidays. And no matter where I was going, I felt guilty about the other side. So if I was going to my dad's on Christmas, I'd be worried about my mom being alone. So it was kind of this, the best way I can describe it is feeling in between all the time. Like I couldn't really be in two places at once, and I always felt bad about it. That's good. So, and I think part of what I loved about church was the predictability of it. Mm-hmm. When I was thinking about that too, it's like, it always started at the same time. You kind of knew when the song was coming, when the prayer was coming. You knew what to expect next, which was completely different from my house, because it seemed like there was always something different happening, because my dad would come on a different night and just show up and pick us up from school and be like, I have to take you to dinner tonight because I have somewhere to go tomorrow when we usually get together. So I think I've always craved stability and predictability, and I'm a homebody, so that kind of explains that too. Mm-hmm. So
you were plugged in at church in growing up and in middle school, and that what happened next in your life that might have impacted your faith journey?
So in middle school, I went through confirmation. I mentioned that I served as an acolyte. And then as I think the situation with my parents, my attendance got a little more sporadic just because my dad lived about an hour away as I was headed into high school. So it was harder for me to be at church every Sunday because I switched off weekends. A tragedy struck our family. The second week of my 10th grade year, my brother was hit and killed by a car. So as a pedestrian, he had just gone away to college, and it was September 12th, 1990. So he had just gone away to college. So I started my 10th grade year of high school with a huge, you know, kind of like shockwave. And my recollections of that time are a little blurry, because I think it's just, but I think the thing that I remember the most is being really worried about my mom and my dad, but I lived with my mom more of the time, so I was really worried about her, and I just tried to, I kind of shifted into caretaker mode for the house. I feel like I kind of went from being a teenager to an adult really fast during that time, just by necessity. So I used to, you know, make dinner, took care of my sister, really had to take on a lot of responsibility in the house. So
how did your community of friends support or react to all this?
My friends were, I mean, obviously our church rallied around us. I remember people bringing meals. I remember the Reverend coming over to visit us. And I remember my friends being supportive, but the thing that stuck out to me was they didn't know what to say to me. And it kind of all comes back to that whole, like, me feeling self-conscious thing. So it was like yet another thing that I felt different related to. So people seemed awkward around me at school. And it was difficult, because what I wanted was just to blend in. And that was the opposite of what was happening at that moment, because everybody was saying stuff to me in the hall. Well-meaning teachers said things to the whole class that just, I was mortified, because even though it was kind, I've never really liked getting attention. Yeah. So, and especially attention where people look at you with pity is tough at that age. So, yeah.
You mentioned a couple of times this feeling of being different or other. And when was it that you started feeling a sense of belonging?
When I think about it, this was something I thought a lot about when I was preparing for today. I think it was when I went away to college. So senior year of high school, when it got time to be applying, I remember I went on two separate college visit trips with my parents. One time I went with my dad, one time I went with my mom. And we left New Jersey, where there was a ton of snow on the ground that was still, like, not melted in April, and drove to North Carolina, where everyone was in shorts. And I was like, I want to go here. So that was, it was kind of a no-brainer for me that I wanted to go to school out of state. But I will say, I also think there was a little bit of running away in there, too. I really wanted to go far away. I think I really just wanted to reinvent myself in some way. So it gave me kind of a chance to have a fresh start. So I met a really great group of friends in college. I met my husband, Andy. I really enjoyed my time there. Andy and I built a life in Raleigh. We lived there for almost 20 years, other than a brief stint in Boston for about a year and a half. So, yeah.
I wonder if your experiences of feeling different growing up had kind of influenced how you interact with other people. You're very welcoming to people. And just are so generous about making people feel included. And when we were getting ready for this conversation, you shared that one of your favorite passages of scripture is Romans 12, 13 through 16, which I'm going to read from the Message. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. And I think this is very descriptive of you. And do you feel like, in addition to the ministry that you have with family and children here, is this something that you're called to as well?
I think I naturally tend to be pretty inclusive. I try to always see if somebody's sitting alone or, you know, not part of a conversation and include them. I'm also kind of have an empathetic personality where if I know something's going on with someone, I tend to, you know, text or call or send a card. That's kind of why it was the natural fit for me to serve on the hospitality committee and eventually get involved with congregational care. I try to always see a need and you know, try to serve it. It's not, obviously, I'm not perfect about it, but I try to do that. And also, I tend to raise my hand a lot when there's help needed with something. That's probably a little bit of an understatement. My daughter calls me an over-volunteerer, but so I served as the PAC, like Parent Advisory Committee at Chestnut, as their president for a while. Then I took on being in charge of swim team for about 4 years. And then after that, when I should have run scared, I took on being the pool director for our neighborhood pool. So I definitely tend to, you know, if I see something where my skills can help, not necessarily make it better, but where I can add something, I try to do that. And my involvement outside of church, because I live so close, I'm less than a mile from my home, actually allows me opportunities to invite people here, which is probably one of the biggest blessings, is that I can talk to my neighbors about VBS and registering at the Kingswood Preschool because we're all in the same community. Mm-hmm. So I see that as a huge blessing.
So you were talking about being in church in your childhood and didn't really mention much about that in your 20s and 30s. What brought you back to church?
So I think when we moved here, I would go to church like on kind of the major holidays, and we had visited several churches. We went to St. Pat's a couple of times. I'd come here a few times, but I think I wanted my kids to have a church home, and Maxine started coming to choir with Emily, and then working downstairs, I started to get to know staff members here, and then when Charles became the pastor here, he made a real effort to get to know the teachers downstairs, so we all really felt a much larger connection to the church right away, I would say. And I'm not speaking for everyone, but this is something other people said in conversation to me. So, and I just, you know, decided I wanted my kids to have more of a church home and the experience I did growing up. So I focused on that. So,
How did you become the director of family and children's ministries here?
So I was working downstairs at the preschool. I'd been there about between 4 and 5 years. And I remember, I said in the early service, I was sitting, I think, in that third or fourth pew over there. It was during Advent at one of the services. And it was the advertisement for the position was on the back of the bulletin. And I read it once, looked at it again, and I read it again. And I sat there and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I gave it some thought, and I prayed about it. I talked to several of my friends about it, including Lauren, I think. I made a decision to apply after a couple of days. I spoke with Charles about my interest and Kara, actually. And it seemed like a natural fit because I already felt a relationship with the church, and I love, you know, working with and serving with children. So, and there were some parts about the job that I was definitely like, oh, I can do that. And then there were some parts where I was like, I hope I can do that. So I felt very confident, event planning, organizing volunteers, kind of community building, talking to people. I was completely confident with that. But then I got really nervous about, one, public speaking, and two, choosing Sunday school curriculum seemed really daunting at the time because I didn't feel qualified. But what I realized during my time in this position is that the skills that I brought were the more important ones. Those are things I got over time from learning, studying, talking to people. Things like, you know, feeling more confident in biblical learning and curriculum I picked up over time. It's much harder to pick up being comfortable around people. So at least I had that part covered. So I felt like it was a good fit.
And you kind of touched on this, but how have your faith and your relationship with God grown after joining Kingswood and then subsequently joining the church staff?
So I think, I started this position halfway through 2018, I think. So I only had one full year of my job before the pandemic happened. So I definitely feel like over the time of the pandemic was one of the biggest like faith building times for me because we all had, you know, kind of to shift everything so quickly. And I know as a staff at the church, we had to figure out how to do ministry in a completely new way. So I felt like it was, you know, prayer, reflection, conversations, and just reaching out during the pandemic is a time when I got to know a lot of other children's directors in the area, which really helped too, because we shared ideas, prayed for each other, spoke, that kind of thing. So I think my faith has grown a lot just from relationships at church, spending time in prayer and fellowship with other people, and just remembering the big idea. So just, you know, to stay focused and not get too hung up on. That was something during the pandemic too. You kind of had to look at how to stay afloat really, and not try to get every detail right. So I think that was a lot of it. So Zoom Sunday School was like the best thing ever during the pandemic because I got to see everybody's faces every week and talk to them.
You did a masterful job of keeping the kids together, and it was great. I mean, even singing Little Angels on Zoom, not sure I would highly recommend that for everybody, but it was good to see their lovely faces, so that was good. What changes have you seen in your life and your attitudes and your actions as a result of your faith?
One thing is that, you know, even if I find, you know, I might find a behavior annoying about someone or notice something, I try to shift gears and remember that God sees everybody, you know, try to see people through God's eyes and find the good in everyone. So even, you know, when my children are acting up at home or something like that, Maxine's smiling, or, you know, just remembering like, oh, God's, you know, when they were little, just remembering, you know, God's children, I'm going to, you know, handle this with peace and grace. So I think a lot of it is just taking a minute and praying about things before reacting. So I think when I remember, because when I was growing up, I think I reacted with fear to a lot of things. So if I remember to react and take a minute, it's kind of the whole take a deep breath before you do things. That same idea, except for part of taking a deep breath is, you know, taking a minute to pray, something like that. So, yeah.
How has your faith in Christ impacted how you interact with the community?
So I think in my mind, as Christians, we're all looking for ways to invite, include, care and share, you know, God's love with other people, being Jesus's hands and feet. So I try to be the person at the pool who, you know, holds someone's baby so that they're older, so they can go play with their older kids. I try to just try to notice a need and fill it, you know, that kind of thing.
That's great. I think it's also fitting that one of your favorite passages is from a little bit before the one I read before in Romans 12. This is verses 6 through 10. I'm going to read those out of the message as well. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run from dear life for evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. And I know you are about as comfortable receiving praise as you are sharing your life story here today. But I do think those verses very much characterize how you live your life. And I'm curious, you talked a little bit about in the community, how has your faith in Christ influenced how you interact with the world and the broader society?
So when I think about issues that are important to me, it's, you know, Charles mentioned during the prayer about, you know, how much information we have now of things that are going on all over the world. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming, but I also feel like it's a gift because we're able to pray for people who we don't see every day. You know, pray for situations that we're not experiencing on a daily basis. And that applies to my feelings on things like social justice, too, because I feel that there's a biblical tie there. We are called to look out for people who are, you know, underrepresented, maybe ignored or disenfranchised. So my feelings towards social justice, which I know can be a politicized word, but I think we as Christians can all agree that we want to help others and help lift people up. So I think that my feelings and my unconditional feelings about everybody deserving to be included in part of God's kingdom is all rooted in that. So
that's great. What are times you've seen God at work in your life?
Definitely when my church growing up rallied around our family after Andrew died. I think my call to apply for the position here, when I, you know, to even ending up at the Kingswood Preschool as a teacher, I feel like all those things were God at work. Because, one aside, we moved here, and I never visited here. We moved here really quick because Andy's job moved us. And I called on the phone and spoke to Carolyn Ellis on the phone and registered my son for preschool without ever setting foot in the door. So I feel like, and I literally just Googled preschools and our address and was like, oh, this looks pretty close. So I feel like that was the first step in, you know, God being at work for my children and all of us to end up part of this church and part of this church family.
I feel like you'd said earlier that you experience God's voice sometimes through music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something
Yes.
that you can relate to?
Yes. So actually, yeah, in the community I built in North Carolina, a lot of my friends were musicians. And what we did for fun was to go see live music. It's still one of my favorite things to do. And I also love to karaoke. So music is definitely something I love. Music is can be therapy for me. You know, you can kind of hear the right song with lyrics that you need to hear at the right time. Regardless if it's Christian music or, you know, something else that I'm listening to at home, but music definitely has always had a big part for me, yeah.
How does your faith shape how you respond to things?
Like I mentioned earlier, I think if I remember to not go to fear and go to faith and take a minute and pray, I think that is the biggest difference for me. Because as a kid, I remember feeling afraid and worrying all the time. So if I remember not to go right to anxiety and fear, I usually... you know, if I'm letting that guide me, it's better. If I'm letting faith guide me, so.
What's your current relationship with God look like?
So I still can be a worrier and have some anxiety, but I think that just knowing that I have, you know, God with me all the time, I have my church family with me, I have, you know, prayer I can go to always helps keep me grounded.
That's great.
Yeah, and as a busy working mom, I don't always block out enough time for prayer or quiet, and I can tell. Like, if I'm having a rough week, it reminds me that I need to take, you know, remember to take the time for those things.
Mm-hmm. So I know you love again, speaking about yourself. So good news, this is the last question. So you've almost made it through. What is one thing that you want everybody here to know?
I am honored to serve in this role, to serve with each of you here at church. And I want to thank all the people here who support, love, disciple my children, all the Sunday school teachers, Luke and Alan and Sherry who are providing music, just everybody who's encouraged and cared for me and Andy and my kids and all those things. So I'm grateful for everybody here.
All right, we are grateful for you. So thank you for joining me here in this conversation. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your servant, Jessica. And thank you for her heart for you and for her heart for people and for the disillusioned and the lonely. And I pray that we can learn from that and that you move our hearts to see people and see their needs more clearly than we sometimes do. Thank you for her commitment to try to see people the way you do and help us to do that too. And I pray that you will use her mightily and continue to bless her ministry here. Please be with the family and children that she serves and just help them to experience the tremendous peace of serving you and loving one another unconditionally. And I pray that you will continue to bless her and her family. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.